joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're the first to arrive.
Oh, okay. I sent you a file. I hope you found it.
Yes, I did find it. You're talking about the reuse writings from the rest of the year.
That was where we left off, I think. If I missed, you can let me know.
I think it was correct.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and mute, that way I don't have to say it. Does it beep like it used to when we would mute?
No.
That's amazing. It doesn't?
He said.
Has joined.
Somebody joined. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We'll be starting momentarily. Would you like to identify yourself?
Gabriella.
Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Please join us in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa Gedula Chimin Ha Tati Serura Alafet Gimbal Yuta Sadi Kabel Rinat Amphasagvenu Taharenu No Ra Ufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kafshin Barhem Acharem Rachame Sitka
Has joined.
Tami Gamlem Betet Resh Saditaf Gimel Asin Kadosh Vero Tuha Nael Adata Tetufet Tet Nunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zopre Kidu Shata Yud Gimelamet Zion. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tiakatenu Yodea Talubo Shinkufav Tadiuta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notzer Chesed La'alafim, Noseyawon Wafesha, V'chata'av V'nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a tool from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It comes from Parashah Yitro, it's Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the B'Shem Yehud. B'Shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Nishkinte B'Tilu Urchimud Ilu Tilu Urchimud Le'ata L'Shem Yudhei Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kanenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kanenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nand Kudsha Rikhu Koma Diyared Le'ela Wittata Kola Yihu Kishot Biyovada Tikshot Beleit Lach Mila Bialma Yivaye Barna Bedach Yaleya Mine Yaula Naga Beya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Istari Bialma. The energy of this current year, 5780, as a revealed energy of compensation and a concealed energy of Shefa. The way we reveal the Shefa and connect it to the compensation is by studying a verse in the Tanakh that connects to both energies. Today, we will be studying a verse from Job. It's chapter 34, verse 22. Ein hoshech pi ein sal mavet v'hi sater sham o ale awin. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. There's one verse in the Tanakh that we study that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shatan tatav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla le'anoto. We'll now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wa yo la yo sa yo te ala me me he shi la la he aka aka he ta he za yo ala da la awa he he a yo za la me be he he re yo he ko me ma awa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la. Nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nu ta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da a nu yo he a me re he a yo yo za. Hey, 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 me yo ka, wa wa la, yo la, hey, sa a la, re yo, a shi la, me yo, hey, wa hey, wa, da nu yo, hey, hey, shi, a me, me, nu nu wa, nu yo ta, me be, hey, be wa yo, nu me, me, yo yo la, hey, re, hey, me tsa re, wa me be, yo, hey, hey, a nu wa, me, hey, yo. Me be me nu ko ayo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. And we'll now connect the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim. We'll use the same tool. Wah, 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 yo, 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 sabe te, ame, me, be, she, la, yo, hey, anu, tameta, hey, hey, yo, anu, da, la, hey, wa, hey, me, yo, ta, la, me, re, hey, hey, yo, yo, hey, me, me, la, wah, wah, ka, yo, la, yo, wa, pe, nu, la, nu, me, ha, yo, hey, yo, me, nu, hey, 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 wa, Nu yo hey hey she ah yo re ta she ah hey re la yo ah wa me la yo pe wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka ako me nu da anu yo he wa me re he ah yo he za hey she hey me ha ha wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la re yo a la me ta hey. Wa he wa da la yo he yo shi ya la me nu he ya nu wa ta me la he te ya yo nu ko me yo re la he be be he me za re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo da he be me ka to a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who left this fifth day of Av, the most famous, of course, is the Ari, and we spent quite a few hours last night studying his writings, and we will continue to do so today. So the Ari, Rabbi Shlomo, Rabbi Yitzhak ben Shlomo, Luria Ashkenazi, Rabbi Gedalia Kiyun, Rabbi Chaim of Krasna, Rabbi Chaim Ozer Grodzinski of Vilna, Rabbi Binyamin Paler, Rabbi Yechiel Michel Dorfman. And the Tzaddikim who have chosen to leave the sixth day of Av, which starts tonight at sundown, Rabbi Yehoshua Greenwald, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Hanau. I'm going to take the opportunity, we have something we haven't done in a while, and that's to connect to the Esser Dibrot. Adaber Elohim et kol ha-divarim ha-eile le-mor. Anochi Adonai yo-he-wa-he adanu-yo. Yo-ha-he-da-wa-nu-he-yo. Elohecha asher hotzeiticha. Me'eretz mitraim mi-beit avadim. Lo yihye lecha Elohim achirim. Al panai lo ta'aseh lecha, te'asel with call to muna. Asher b'shamayim mima'al va'asher ba'aretz mitachat va'asher. Pamayim mitachat la'aretz. Lo tishtaka ve'lachem. Velo tadim ki anochi Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo Yoahe da wanu he yo Elohecha Elkana Go Bokeila won Avot Albanim Al Shileshim Li Al Ribeim Lisne ai liose tesed la alafim leohavai ushomre mitzvotai lo tisa et shem adonai yo hei wahe adanu yo yo ahe dawanu hei yo Elohecha la shavti lo yinake Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yo ahe dawanu he yo et asher yisa et shemo la shav zahor et yom hashabbat lakacho Sheshet yamim tavod b'yasita. Kom lachecha yom ta'ashvi. Shabbat ladonai yohe wahe adanu yo. Yo wahe dawanu he yo. Elohecha lo ta'ase. Kom lacha ata vimcha uvitecha avdecha v'yamadcha uvhemtecha v'gercha asher b'sharecha. Ki sheshet yamim masa Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yo wahe dawanu he yo. Et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz, et hayam v'et kol asher bam, v'yanach b'yom ha-shvi'i. Al kein b'erach, Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yo wahe dawanu he yo. Et yom ha-shabbat v'yikachehu, k'beret. Avicha v'et imecha leman ya'arikun yamecha al ha'adama asher Adonai. Yohe wahe adanu yo, yohe dawanu hey yo. Elohecha noten lach lo tirtza. Lo tina, lo tigno, lo tane bereacha, achaker, lo tachmot, beit reecha, lo tachmot, eishet reecha, viavdo, viamato, visharo, vachamoro, vikol asher lereecha. In the eighth verse of the Anna Pekoa, we say in a whisper. We're going to begin with the writings of the Ari, where we left off last night. You can find it on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. That's in row 4 of the 14 of the matrix, the second column from the left. That will open up to the landing page for all of the writings of the Ari. And if you scroll to section 1A, that will be where we read yesterday. And if you scroll down about 75% of the way, you'll find a section titled Four Aspects of the Emanated. And that is where we will begin after we say L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkite bidhilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu le'akta l'shem yudhe b'vavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael le'mud Torah mitzvah la'sok Torah mitzvah Vaino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu koranei aleinu maasei yadeinu koraneihu. There is an emanator and an emanated. Those terms really can be replaced by there is a creator and there is a creation. Understanding the worlds. The emanated is composed of four basic elements, fire, air, water, and earth. They are the four letters of the holy ineffable name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. They are Chachma and Bina, Tiferet and Malchut. They are Ta'amim, the mechanical musical notes. They are Nekudot, the vowel points. They're the Tagim, the crowns that are drawn on the top of certain letters in the Torah. And the letters themselves, the Otiot. They correspond to Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. They are the four aspects of man. The first aspect is the internal man, consisting of his spiritual element or soul, the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, and the chaya. The second is the body. The third is the clothing on the body. The fourth is the house. The man and his body and his clothes dwell within the house. Each of these aspects consists of four aspects, and they are as follows. The first aspect, which is the spiritual part of man, consists of a neshama of the neshama, or the chaya. Then there's the neshama, then there's the ruah, then there's the nefesh. The second aspect, which is the body, consists of the bones with the brain marrow that is within them, the sinews, the flesh, and the skin. Concerning this, there is a verse in Job, "You have dressed me with skin and flesh, and with bones and sinews you have covered me." The third aspect, which is the garments, consists of those four garments that must be worn by the priests when they are serving in the temple. They are a shirt, a pants, a hat, and a belt. The additional four that are worn by the high priest are higher aspects from another world, as the Zohar explains. One set of four are the garments of the holy name Adonai, and one set of four are the garments of the holy ineffable name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Essentially, there are only four. The fourth aspect, which is the house, consists of the house, the courtyard, the field, and the wilderness, an intermediary aspect. In each of these four cases, there is another, a fifth aspect, that includes all of the subsequent particulars. It is an intermediary between one general category and another general category, and it includes both of them. For example, the natural philosophers say that intermediary between the mineral and plant kingdoms is the coral, also called the almogene. Coral is a rock, but it grows like a plant. The intermediate between the plant and the animal kingdoms is a creature called the Adnei Sadeh, described by the Mishnah Kilaim. It looks like a dog, but it grows from the ground, and it is rooted in the ground by a sort of umbilical cord from where it gets its nourishment. If you would cut this cord, it would die. Please note, it may well be that this creature is not known these days to botanists or zoologists. Nevertheless, it is described by the Mishnah, which is a legalistic text, and does not deal with mystical creatures. Therefore, it must be assumed that the Adnei Sadeh did exist at one time, and the rabbis of the Talmud were familiar with it, even if it has become extinct in our world. Thus, the Mishnah as a source legitimizes the Ari's exposition here. And the intermediate between the animal and the human is the monkey. When this section, this description of intermediates is what it's saying, is in order to go from one world to another world, or one classification to another classification, There must be an intermediate entity that has attributes of both worlds. And that is the descriptions that are being described here as the intermediates, because they have attributes of the lower level as well as attributes of the upper level. Four aspects in the analogy of man. Similarly, there is an aspect that is an intermediate between the Creator, may his name be blessed, and the human creatures. All the spiritual elements of man are included in this aspect, about which it is said, you are the children of the Lord, your God. And I said that you are God. It has also been said about it, God arose from upon Abraham, and our sages have said the patriarchs were the vehicle. The intention here is to refer to a very small spark that is an aspect of godliness. It derives from the last place in godliness, and it is ensconced within another potency or spark that is a created being, and it is a very, very subtle soul. In this spark, which is called Yeshidah, are the roots of the four spiritual elements of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, and Chaya. Between the spiritual soul and the body is an aspect that includes elements of both general categories. It is called Revi'it Dam. The Revi'it Dam is simply a portion of blood. This portion is called the Revi'it, which means a fourth. It is the fourth part of a load. When this amount of blood spurts forth from an animal that has been slaughtered, then the animal is considered dead. The Ari does not consider the Revi'it Dam as a mere amount, but as a specific aspect of blood that contains the life force or refresh of the animal, or the nefesh of the animal, as it is written. Because the blood is the nefesh, the life force, it contains the last spark of the nefesh, which is the fourth part of the nefesh, or the nefesh of the nefesh, and that is why it is called the fourth. This spark is ensconced within a portion of blood, known as the Revi'it Dam, and becomes one with it, as it is written, the blood is the nefesh, which was talking about this specific Revi'it Dam. It is the choicest of all the four aspects of the body, whose every part is subdivided into four. It is the first of the four, and the highest aspect of the brain marrow within the bones. Ensconced within it is the life force in the blood that spreads out from there to sustain the body. The roots of all four aspects of the body are contained within this superior Revi'it Dam. Thus it is intermediate between the soul and the body, and it is comprised from elements of both of them. In other words, as we shall soon see more clearly, the intermediate is an extension of the lowest aspect of the higher category, in this case, the soul, and it is the highest aspect of the lower category, in this case, the body. Also, it contains the root of all the aspects of the lower category that will come after it. I am adding this clarification. This seems to be a machloket, an argument in search of truth. Is the soul consolidated like a lump of sugar in only a part of the blood? Or is it spread throughout the blood? Or is there a third aspect, which is what I learned from my teachers, that the immune system, white blood cells, is the soul? The red blood cells are part of the body, and the balance of the blood is mostly water, with many other aspects. It is possible that the white blood cells are only a fourth of the total volume, or some other measure as indicated in the above discussion. Similarly, between the second aspect, the body, and the third, the clothing, is an intermediate aspect, the hair and fingernails of man, as is known. The fingernails were the garments of Adam, the first man, in the beginning. They are joined to the skin, the last aspect of the body, and they are very similar to the body of man. When hair is removed from the body, it can be made into garments, as is with the wool of sheep and goats. Not only that, but even when they are on the body, they are similar to garments, as the hair of animals is their clothing. This is an indication that the garment of Adam, the first man, was fingernail material. We also find that it was the clothing of Nebuchadnezzar, as it is written, until his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Thus hair, and according to Chazal, fingernail material as well, is intermediate between the general categories of the body and the garments, and they participate in both categories as well. They are part of the body and they can be made into garments. In the same way, between the aspect of garments and the aspect of the house are tents. They are made from wool and flax, which are aspects of garments, and they also serve as aspects of houses. This aspect of tents needs further inquiry, for there may be another thing involved in it. Above Hachma is the Huili, known as the Keter. Now, after examining the allegory of the world of man, we will return to talk about the supernal worlds, which are allegorized. They are none other than the four elements, the four letters of the Tetragrammaton, the four Sephirot, Hachma and Bina, Tiferet and Malchut. Hachma is the first of the four. It follows, therefore, that Hachma is called Reshit. The Hebrew word for the first is Reshit, beginning. Indeed, Reshit is the first word of the Torah that starts in a beginning, or at first. In Hebrew, the phrase is Bereshit. The prefix B simply means in or with. Also, the official Aramaic translation of the Bible, known as the Targum Yonathan, written by one of the great rabbis of the Talmudic period, Rabbi Yonathan ben Uziel, translates the Hebrew word Bereshit as Bechachma, with Chachma, or in Chachma. I am adding, the Chachma translates as with or in wisdom, indicating the Torah is all about wisdom. And the earth was empty and void, tohu vavohu. Now, since the Hachma is Reshit, the first, you can understand why Keter is a supernal aspect, and yet not really part of the world to which it is the crown, similar to the crown of a king that is above his head, and not part of his head. Accordingly, Keter is not included as a sephirah of the world, and in its place we count dot, knowledge, as stated in the Sefer Yetzirah. Nevertheless, there are times when we do count Keter as one of the ten sephirot. The entire matter may be understood from what has been explained beforehand in the name of the natural philosophers. There is an intermediary between each of the aspects. I am adding, Keter is the intermediate between the En Sof and the beginning of the Sephirot. This is why Keter is sometimes counted among the Sephirot, and other times not counted among the Sephirot. Do not make the mistake that when Keter is not counted, there is only 9 Sephirot. There are always 10 Sephirot. And Keter is replaced by Dot, which is composed of both Chokhmah and Bina. The same idea was introduced by the Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, in his commentary to the beginning of the verse, and the earth was empty and void, tohu vavohu. He wrote in the name of Sefer HaBahir that before the four elements were created, there was created a primal matter called, in Greek, the huili. It is something that is prepared to take on the shapes of the four elements afterwards. But at first, it is without any shape or distinction whatsoever. Since it is before the toho, before the emptiness, it is called ephes, zero, or nothingness, as it is written. They are counted to him less than nothing, an emptiness. We see from the verse that nothing, the ephes, comes before emptiness, the tohu. Furthermore, the Hebrew words for grasping, nitfas, are always used for intellectual comprehension and perception. According to the Ari, the word ephes, zero, nothing, is derived from the same root because nothing can grasp it, as it says in the Zohar. No thought can take hold whatsoever of you. The idea is as follows. The infinite is also called nothing, ephes, zero, because nothing can grasp it. It has no substance and no shape whatsoever. After it, there came into existence the tohu, emptiness, which is Keter. And after that, there came into existence the bohu, the void, which included the four elements, Chokhmah and Bina, Tiferet and Malchut. However, the bohu is not yet Reshit, Chokhmah, as we will soon see. It is the second aspect of Keter. It is not the four elements in actuality, but only in potential. It has also been taught about the bohu that the word is a combination of two other words, bo, which means in it, and hu, which means it is. Thus, the word itself it means it is in it, which is an indication that it is the first to assume the shape of the four elements, at least potentially. And within it, so to speak, is the infinite himself. The intermediary is Keter. How could one shine upon the other, and how could one create the other, since they are polar opposites, if it were not for an intermediary? It is absolutely necessary that there should be an intermediate level between the emanator and the emanated, because they are distant from each other as far as can be, more than it between heaven and earth. How could one shine upon the other, and how could one create the other, since they are polar opposites, if it were not for an intermediary that is close to the emanator and close to the emanated, and joins them? This intermediary is Keter, which is called tohu, emptiness. There is no element within it, and it is only indicated in the holy and ineffable name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, by the crown on the top of the first letter. It is the intermediary. When the scribe begins to draw, he first puts the pen down on the blank parchment and makes a dot. This dot is the crown of the first letter of the ineffable name. It is a yud. As such, it is intermediary between the blank parchment and the beginning or its writing. I am adding. The metaphor of a dot of ink on the white parchment implies two forms of infinity, considered infinite meaning without limit. The dot creates limitation on the parchment, while at the same time the dot is infinitely small. To me, this is the union of two infinites. Comparable to Keter is the primal matter called the Hu'ili that contains the root of the four elements in potential and not in actuality. That is why it is called Tohu, emptiness. Another meaning of the word Tohu derives from the root Tavha, which means astonishment. It astonishes the mind of human beings because it does not contain any shape or form whatsoever. Nevertheless, it is an emanation and contains the potential of the four elemental shapes. Indeed, it is possible to call it infinite and emanator. And some of the Kabbalists did say that Keter is the infinite. It is also possible to call it emanated, because the infinite is certainly greater than it. Consequently, the sages have warned us, in things that are wondrous beyond you, do not investigate. Nevertheless, what can be said about it ultimately is that the Keter is the intermediate aspect between the emanator and the emanated. It is the last possible aspect of the infinite. It emanated another aspect that contains the root of the 10 Sephirot, greatly hidden and in great subtlety than it. Above it, besides the Tohu, there is only the absolute nothingness. Two aspects of Keter, the Atik Yomim and the Arichon, Antin. Consequently, there are really two levels to this aspect. The first is the lowest aspect of the infinite. If it were possible to say such a thing, it is like the Malchut of Malchut, of the En Sof, of the infinite. Although such a thing cannot really be said, because there is no image or sephirah whatsoever in that place, and we only say so in order to use words that can reach the ear. The level, the lowest of the En Sof, includes all of what exists above. It exists above it by receiving from of them, as it is known in general, that every aspect of Malchut receives from all the levels that are above it. The level, the lowest of the En Sof, emanates another aspect, that is the highest of all the emanated. It contains the root of all the emanated, and it influences all of them. Thus, the smallest aspect of the emanator emanated the greatest aspect of the emanated, and there is nothing else between them. After this aspect of the emanator, there is no other aspect of the emanated closer to it or more similar to it than the second lowest aspect of Keter. Keter has an aspect that is applicable to the En Sof, and it has an aspect that is applicable to the emanated. These two aspects are called retrospectively Atik Yomim and Arich Anpin, and both together are called Keter. Both of these levels together are really one aspect called Keter. By virtue of one of its aspects, some Kabbalists have called it En Sof, but other Kabbalists, because of its second aspect, have called it Keter, and accounted it in the number of the 10 Sephirot. Our opinion is like neither of them. Rather, we consider it an intermediate aspect between the Ein Sof and the emanated. It has an aspect that is applicable to the Ein Sof, and it has an aspect that is applicable to the emanated. These two aspects are called retrospectively Atik Yomim and Arich Anpim, and both together are called Keter. Understand this well. Along these lines, it has been said in another place that within the head, which is the Keter, or the Arich Anpim of Briah, there is ensconced the Malchut of the Malchut of Atzilut. It is the Atik Yomim of Briah. Understand this well. The word for I is Ani, whose letters are the same as those for the word Ayin, which means nothingness. The rule is that the emanated has only four levels. They are the four letters of the ineffable holy name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. They are Atzilut, Priah, Yetzirah, and Asiya. And they are Chachma, Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut. That is why the Torah begins with the Bereshit, from the beginning. And the sages said there is no Reshit except Chachma. There is no beginning except wisdom. The sages said it in a negative way to specifically exclude Keter. There is an intermediary that includes aspects of both the emanator and the emanated. It is called Keter. This Keter includes all of what was above it, even though it is the smallest aspect of all of them, and receives nourishment from all of them. In turn, it is the root of all the 10 Sephirot of the emanated, and it influences all of them. Do not be surprised if we sometimes say that the 10 Sephirot of Atzilut divide into the four letters of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And sometimes we say that they divide into five Partsufim, arrangements of particular configurations of Sephirot. When we say that they are four, we are counting only the actual emanations. But when we say that they are five, we are counting their roots in the emanator, together with the emanated themselves. You should also know that it is exactly the same with all the 10 Sephirot of each and every world. And it is also the same in the details of each and every Partsuf. Every higher aspect is called emanator, relative to the aspect lower than it, which is called emanated. And the emanated is always divisible into four letters, even in any one of its 10 Sephirot, or in any one of the 10 Sephirot of any one of them. In each particular, no matter how detailed, there is an intermediate aspect called Keter. Understand this well. It is a key to understanding all of the lessons. It is also the meaning of the verse, I am the first and I am the last. Keter is the first and it is the last. The word for I is Ani, whose letters are the same as those for the word Ayin, which means nothing. It is Ani and it is Ayin. The Malchut of the emanator is its last aspect. It is called Ani, as it is always the case with Malchut. In the aspect of root of the emanated, it is Keter, which is the first, and it is called Ayin, whose letters are the same as Ani. And that is the end of the section. I have a commentary following it. For the majority of human beings, the above discussion and attempt to explain tohu and bohu is incomprehensible. The more words expressed, the more confusing the subject becomes. In the Sefer Eser Sefirot, 10 luminous emanations, there are 16 chapters that bring the creation from the Ein Sof to the physical worlds, including the creation of all aspects of souls, and the emanated in chapter 5. There is a teaching that takes the whole chapter of a subject called Mati Velo Mati. This translates from the Aramaic as it is there and it is not there. This paradox is what is discussed above. I strongly recommend, as did my teachers, to study this sefer. This is considered the deepest study of the Kabbalah. My teacher describes this chapter as the item that separates the men from the boys in the study of Kabbalah. Yet the light is in the effort. Let me know if you wish to study this with me. And we have been studying this prior to the three-week period. And starting next week, we will then pick up and study that.
Hello?
Yes,
I would like to study chapter. I would like to study that fifth parsha.
We're going to get there, but we have to go through the first four chapters before we get there. It's the fifth.
Okay.
And right now we're just, you know, in, I think it's lesson 17 of the introduction.
Okay.
So there's a lot there, and it will take us a while at only one class a week. But, you know, the study of the 10 luminous emanations, along with the Zohar, the deep Zohar classes we teach 4 days a week, you're going to find that what you study in the deep Zohar will impact your understanding on the 10 luminous emanations, and you'll be able to go through it a little more quickly.
Well, this has been a fascinating study, and your teaching has opened up our intelligence and our intellect to kind of understand the flow of what you taught this morning or this afternoon. You can follow it. Those that have been with you for a while and studying the Zohar, it's been a wow factor for me. And I thank you for that.
Yeah, I do. And that's what I keep reminding you. The study of the Zohar is about metaphysical energy, about receiving metaphysical energy. If you try and understand it intellectually, you're going to get lost.
Right.
You just accept the energy, receive the energy, and about 6 months or 2 months or a year, you'll wake up and you'll say, oh, that's what that meant.
Mm-hmm. And those are the wow moments I had in this teaching that we're having. It's like, oh my gosh, it's connecting. These are connecting for me.
Exactly. I mean, the commentary that we read, part of it is the Ari's descriptions, and they're in the bold letters. But the other is, that's not bold, is really the commentary of the translator. And he's much, in my opinion, much too wordy. But what he was essentially saying is if we define something as a world, and we have four worlds in our physical world. We have the human world, which is referred to as the speaking. We have the animal world. We have the plant world. And we have the inanimate world. And what this section was saying is in order to evolve either up from the lower to the higher, or to evolve from the higher to the lower, there must be an intermediary description, entity, consciousness. And that intermediary has the lowest aspect of the higher level and the highest aspect of the lower level. And it gave us some examples in this area of inanimate going to growing into the plant as being the coral reef. Because the animal or the plant that is a coral, it moves and follows the sun just like plants do on land. It's just in the lower, in certain depths of the sea. But it follows the sun. But when it dies, it becomes a wall. That's what we call the coral reef. And it has great beauty, as people tell us when they go scuba diving. But the coral itself is actually living in the wall, in the coral reef. Just as the plant actually lives in the dirt of the earth. So you begin to see, as you move from one level to the other, you begin to see this idea of how can something evolve, as in the theory of evolution, a scientific theory that's been around now for 200 years and has many corollaries and many, many proponents both ways. But essentially, if you are to evolve upwards, meaning the one-celled bacteria grew into a molecule, and I'm making confusion now, but we grow from an inanimate to plant, the complexity of the organization grows. But there has to be this middle ground that has aspects of both. And that's what the translator was trying to explain, what the Ari had written in his book, Etz Chaim.
You know, what comes to mind, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
What I just pictured in my mind when you said there's the stone, the wall, the plant, the earth, the dirt, and the people. What flashed in my mind was the kotel, because when you go to Israel and you see the kotel, you see the stone, you see plants growing out of the stone, which there is dirt for the growth, and then there's people. There's people there as well. So that just kind of flashed into my mind as far as the elements that are all contained in one aspect of creation.
Are the
aspects of creation.
Very true. Very good. Does anybody have any other questions?
I had a comment.
Go ahead.
Thank you. It's interesting that you're studying this today, because just this morning, I've been studying and was discussing with a friend of mine in Australia about the second verse in Genesis, about the Tohu and Bahu. And in my past, it's like some people try to say that this was maybe a war, and then the whole world became Tohu and Bahu. And so it's really interesting that here's an explanation now that is referring to the Sephiroth. So is it this only the Ari's perspective, and are there other rabbis that have a different perspective, perhaps more in line with that there might have been a war, or is that just totally off base?
There are many rabbis I can send you if you want. There's a 100-page booklet, ebook that essentially brings you all of the theories and all of the writings over the centuries of UFOs and all of the various theories that have been proposed to explain different aspects of the Bible, especially the first six chapters of Genesis. So there are many different ways to understand the Torah. The real understanding is that there are 70 ways to understand every word, every verse, and some say even every letter. And, you know, we strive to learn more in different ways, because as we learn a different approach to understanding it, we realize that there is no one right answer. These are perspectives that help us make sense of the world around us. Their theories, they won't be heard. We will find out the truth when everyone is resurrected. But even when we find out the truth, we're going to find that within that truth, there are different ways of perceiving the truth. So it always boils down to, if you accept an agenda from a rabbi, meaning he is going to prove his point with various verses from the Tanakh, if he's going to prove his point based on science, he's going to prove his approach to perceiving his world. And he may be right. Not only may he be right, but he is right. But that doesn't mean that the other person describing that same thing in totally different approaches, that second rabbi is also right. And we have to decide what is right for us. And the way we do that is by expanding our consciousness so that we can see the truth in both points of view, or in the three points of view. That's what I try and teach, how to be open to see all 70 points of view, even when I do not understand many of them. But it isn't about understanding, it's about receiving metaphysical energy.
Thank you for entertaining my question, or my comments.
Anytime. So our class is over. We will have a advanced reincarnation. Actually, I'm thinking that since it'll still be the Ari's Hilulah, his death anniversary, we may read some more of that from the Ari in our 3 o'clock class this afternoon. Remember, all the times that I specify are West Coast time, so please make the adjustment to your own time zone. And you all have a beautiful week. Shavua Tov, Shalom Gadol, and much peace and serenity in your life. And before we leave, I want to do the meditation from the Ari for the afternoon. During the three-week period, we try and veil the light of Hashem by moving one letter to the right, which is Tet Dalet, one letter to the left, which is Kaf Vav Zayin Vav, and the central column is composed with the Atbash letter substitution, Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi. These three names have a gematria of 361. The letter Shin has a gematria of 360, so it's a letter Shin plus the Kolel. The letter Shin has the energy of passion, fire, many different aspects. Then there is a word, tsara, which means chaos and troubles. And it's generally considered this three-week period is a period of chaos and troubles. So we want to transform that word, tsara, into retse, which is the same letters in a different order. And those letters, that word retse means desire, but it also has the context of an opportunity. So we're trying to transform the troubles of this period into opportunities. The letters of retse and tsara is 295. When we add aleph, dalet, nun, yud, Adonai, to it, which is gematria 65, we have a second shin, second number 360. So we now have two shins, which connects us to the phrase Sim Shalom. And Sim Shalom has a gematria, though spelled out the letters themselves, have a gematria of 726, which is the two shins is 360 times 2 is 720. And when we add a kolel for each of the six names that we've utilized, Hashem, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Elohim, Het-Dalet-Heh-Dalet, Kaf-Vav-Zion-Vav, Mem-Tzadi-Peh-Tzadi, and Adonai, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. When we add one for each of the six names, we have the connection to Sim Shalom, which is allowing us to inject the consciousness of peace and serenity into this period. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom Gadol, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.